for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, June 30th, 1884. First service of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy of Toronto, Canada is the speaker of the evening.
Holy Father, as we lift our hearts and our minds and live and walk in that realm that you have for us, grip us tonight. And may the fragrance of the Holy Spirit of God permeate every heart and every life and every mind. For truly, Father, nothing can be accomplished unless it's through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we would come into the oneness and the identification, into the union that you have for us in the Holy Ghost. That, Father, our hearts and our minds would be settled in peace. And that, Father, as we together walk together in the realm that you have for us, open up the infinite mysteries of God. Teach us, Father. Teach us and show us through revelation of your Spirit those things so many times we have learned in theory. But may the Word of God become quickened and life to us. As, Father, it penetrates deep within us, and may that Word become flesh in us. We would see the incarnate Christ, the glory of God manifested in our character. And may the effulgence of thy glory radiate and emanate from our being. That as we touch others with the fragrance of the living Christ, Lord, they shall be changed and set free. And Father, as they are set free and delivered, may they never fail to realize it's through the grace and the love and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For no man can do anything, but it's only through your power. It's only through the anointing and the life that comes forth from the fragrant Christ that dwells within our being. And as deep cries unto deep, we cry, O river of life, flow up from these wells from the kingdom of God within us. And may the torrent of life flow out and wash away the debris, wash away the hurts, wash away the regrets, wash away the fears, wash away, Father, the infirmities, the sicknesses and the diseases that have come from the enemy in this realm, Father, that we walk in here. We love you, Christ. We adore thee and magnify and exalt your glorious name. For it is a name, Father, that does so much in so many lives and so many hearts. So may your word become life tonight. And may, Father, we catch a glimpse and a vision of a realm that, Father, you would have us to live and walk and dwell in. May we abide in you, the Christ. For, Father, nothing else is worthy and nothing else can satisfy. So we bow in thy presence and feel our insufficiency. But knowing, O God, that if someone would catch a glimpse of truth, or if someone is set free or healed, then we can say together it's been worthwhile to have been in the house of God. We love you tonight, Master. Quicken us with resurrection life. For, Lord, there's no life like yours. And we would have it tonight in abundance. And this week, to the ministries that thou hast brought, and, oh God, may you be glorified through your Son, Jesus Christ, and in your people. So, Holy Ghost of God, we yield to your ministry, we yield to your moving, we yield to whatever you would have to say or do, and we'll be pleased, Master, to give you the praise and the honor and all the glory, for in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't know how long I'll be. I don't know just where the Lord's going to take us. Every time I come to this camp, I plan something and God changes it until I'm more confused than I don't know anyone else. I've been bringing my charts for the last couple of times, never got to use them, so this time I didn't bring them. And I figured, well, every time we went through customs, they want to know what that thing was. I'm not sure whether they thought it was a missile or a rocket launcher or something, because I have all these charts in this barrel that our young people made for me when I was in Indonesia. And God's been dealing with me today. He's been dealing with me on living in the realm, kingdom realm, walking in it. And I, if the Lord leads, I'll deal with a couple of men that I'm sure you know about, that I'd like just to share with you about, and how that they were both brothers, and how that God had a different place for both of them because of their commitment. But for a starter, I guess, let's turn with Ephesians, if you will. We'll give you lots of scripture. We'll try to go as slowly as we can. I'm not going to give you anything new, I don't think. I don't think that I know anything. I've only been in this deliverance ministry going on 9 years. I've been ministering about 28. First 20, I was rapture and, man, pre-trib, and God only knows what else, and through divine intervention. It was just divine intervention. God ministered through the power of the Spirit, and in a car that I had parked, desperate for something, and God came in like a rushing mighty wind and healed me, delivered me, shook me up, shook me out, did everything else he could do, and then for the next few months, God dealt with me and showed me truth, and I was just a different thing that happened. And I guess that's what keeps me going on in the things of the Lord and in deliverance ministry. I remember, I hear a lot of things. I don't read too much of many books. People tape me. We have a tape studio in our church that I can't stand to hear myself. I don't know whether that's what that is. Maybe that's an area. But I have an objective. I have a purpose. My purpose is to be in the administration of the fullness of times in God's government. That's my purpose. God, one time, after he'd met me, I guess it was about the eighth or ninth day after God had wonderfully done a work in my life and was teaching me kingdom and one in the oneness of the Spirit and changing my theology and whatever else he had to do. I remember one particular day I had gotten up around 4 or 5 in the morning. God had awakened me, and it was a conversation. It wasn't something that the Lord, sometimes he'll give me a word of knowledge or discernment or speak to me in my mind or in my heart, and I know it's God. But this was like a two-way conversation, like someone was right there. And I remember that the Lord spoke to me that morning and said to me, "Are you going to go and visit a certain man, well-known man, millionaire, and ask his forgiveness?" And I had somewhere, I guess, in our relationship, had some altercation with him. I felt that he had done me wrong, but the way God was dealing with me, I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." And in the process of going to see this man, I visited my mother and shared some truth with her and told her I loved her and different things. And on the way back, the Lord spoke to me again and said, "Are you going?" I said, "Yes, I'm going." And I arrived at this man's business, and everything was like clockwork. The doors opened, and being a big businessman, everything just worked out. And I remember going in and sharing with this brother what God had done in my life and ask his forgiveness. He didn't reciprocate, but it didn't make any difference because God was working in my life to such an extent and degree of intensity that it didn't really matter. And I went home and I knelt, I guess it was around noon, and I knelt beside the couch in the living room. And as I knelt down, I felt nauseated. And the Lord spoke to me just like I'm talking to you and said, "Go into the washroom." I went into the washroom and a spirit left from here. I felt this area and I threw up a spirit. I felt this area close up like someone had just taken and filled it up with something. And I went back and knelt down and prayed and said, "Lord, what had happened?" And he said, "Now thou art clean through the word that I've spoken unto you." And just as I'd finished, and I don't know whether I've shared this before, but the Lord would lead me to do it. My father-in-law, who's an elder in our fellowship, I have 6 elders. He happens to be the oldest, 77. Going to walk into the kingdom with me. I keep telling him that. Or I'll walk in with him. And he knocked on the door, and he and his wife came in, and I'd been sharing with him those things God had been doing in me. And he kept saying, "I know, I've told you, I told you." And he'd been into the Latter Rain movement in 48 and Sister Beals, and he'd paid the price since 48 and gotten into sonship and kingdom and a lot of other things. And he was just thrilled that here his son-in-law, God was knocking around and dealing with him. And he was, of course, had given me some truth that I had just laid aside and hadn't even acknowledged. And this made him feel good that he knew he was right and I was wrong. And we began to share. And then he sat down and he began to pray. And as he prayed, I knew he was praying prophetically. And he was moving into the throne room of grace. And I could feel it and I sensed it and I knew it. But his wife, and I've shared this publicly, so this is not anything telling on him, because I've told this in our own church. But his wife had struggled through depression in their pioneer works, where they had to pray for a stamp to mail a letter, where they had to use grease rather than butter, where they had cases, not just vegetable cases where they would eat off of. And of course, it had taken its toll. And in his prayer, he began to compare his wife with his daughter, who was my wife, who is my wife, because she was just thrilled and I was sharing with my wife. And he began to pray this way, Lord, I thank God that you mentioned my wife's name is not like, and he mentioned his wife's name. And all of a sudden, from out of my being came a manifestation of Jesus Christ. The only thing I can remember is when I looked down, I saw the bust of Jesus Christ, and all over my body I felt this hot liquid fire or anointing. And out of my being flowed pure prophecy. I have never had that kind of prophecy since. But God spoke, and it was just like we two were one. And I said to him, my son, wouldst thou bring a root of bitterness in your prayer to the throne of grace? And as he was praying, suddenly he stopped like he'd been hit with a 10-ton truck. And he turned and looked at me and said, my God, I thought I was free of it. And then the Lord said some things that I had to do with him. And of course, he would be about 68, I guess, or whatever age he was then. And he threw up this root of bitterness that he had for years. But God dealt with me that this was his fullness, and that if I was to move into fullness of his spirit in this mortal body, in this flesh, I'm not talking about glorification. I have some truth that I don't know whether anybody's ever preached on that. But God spoke to me and said, if I want his fullness, that I must never grieve the Holy Spirit. I must be careful how I prayed, how I talked, how I reacted. And I remembered that, and I have remembered that over the 8 or 9 years that I've been into deliverance ministry. I haven't fulfilled it. Let me say this. There are times that I have not, for I too get deliverance. As I pray for others, God will, through the power of His Spirit, activate something in me, and then I'll get freed as well as them. It's a little embarrassing at times because I got to choke while they look and watch, and I used to look and watch them choke, but they look and see me choke, and that kind of makes them feel better. And that kind of gives us a rapport together, you see, in the Holy Ghost. But if God is doing anything, He's changing lives. He's changing lives. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll take the second chapter, verse 6, and tie it in with verse chapter 1, verse 3, because I want to talk to you, if I have enough time tonight, on the church realm, the kingdom realm. And in Ephesians 2, 6, he says, and He's raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And in 1:3 of Ephesians, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, looking at those scriptures, and we've read them many times, and I'm sure you've read them many times, and you've heard messages on them. But when you look at it and find out that this is a realm that you and I can live and walk in, that this realm places us in such a position that we look down on every problem and that we are above every problem, every circumstance, every situation, every devil, every spirit of hell, anything that you can negatively think about, your position is above it if you live in the kingdom realm. And in Ephesians 6:12, the difficulty moving into this realm and kind of moving out of the church realm, and we'll try to compare them with you, is because you and I know that the wrestling, there's a place in this kingdom realm, and I believe there's the kingdom of God, and there's a light side and the dark side, God's side, and of course the enemy's side, the kingdom of the heavenlies. But to move into that realm, we're going to fight every power of hell, every demon, anything that's not only in your life that's working against you, but outside of your life that's working against you. And so, of course, the premise that we all know in deliverance is our wrestling is not to us against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of the age, against the spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavenlies. We know that, but a lot of times we know it only in theory and never really allow it to work in us and begin to realize that even those with whom we associate, people that come against us, that in them is demon power. It's not the individual we're fighting. And yet because of our sensitivity and our defensiveness, and because sometimes we're not living in the realm God wants us to live and walk in, and we're on this church realm plateau, or whatever you want to call it, we kind of attack, or we defend, rather than allow the Lord to do it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he says, "The arms of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God to the overthrow of strongholds." And those strongholds, as you and I know, are not only outside, but they are inside. And I guess you are your very worst enemy. I am my worst enemy. And as we get dealing with deliverance and going into the week, as other ministers minister to you, and as we go into deliverance, we trust that some of the strongholds that are inside of your life, God will overthrow through the power of a spirit. And they're there. They are there. It's an amazing thing how that in deliverance, I'm sure you've seen it, that it's always easy to see it in someone else. You can always tell. You know, I've tried to cure our people or try to establish them in stability because we've said, now this, don't you, I've had women say, look, when you pray with my husband, here's the list. Husbands will sometimes do with their wives. Here's the list. But I found that if we'll forget that and just allow the Holy Spirit of God to start to work in us, that He'll give us our list. It won't, don't get in bondage to bondage, because if you become introverted, then you get introspection. And they're both different spirits. An introverted spirit is when you look in. Introspection is when you get inside and start to dissect things on the inside. And there are two spirits. And I've prayed for individuals with these spirits. And they were in bondage to bondage, running around looking and talking about how worthless they were and different areas and getting inside and then looking at all the things on the inside until we had to deal with those areas and try to level them off and straighten them up. But in Colossians, and I want you to look at Colossians 3, verses 1 to 5, and I'll give you these scriptures and you go over them. If therefore you were raised with Christ, seek the things above where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now I'm reading this from Barry's Greek Interlinear. I like to write all my scriptures out and have them in front of me, because as I write them more and more, I memorize them in my messages, and it makes it a little easier. But to get it right for you and try to quote it properly, I write them out. If therefore you are raised with Christ, seek the things above where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things above, not the things on the earth. For you died, and your life has been hid Christ in God. Now, how many believe that? For your life has been hid with Christ in God. Now, he says, when the Christ, our life, may be manifested. And you know that Christ in you, the hope of glory in you, and this manifestation of the glory of Christ is going to manifest through you. This is one of the ultimate purposes of moving into sonship. When the Christ, our life, may be manifested, then also ye with him shall be manifested in glory. And that's not that thing called rapture, in the glory land. It's here. When he appears, you're going to appear with him. The head cannot appear without the body. So therefore, he's going to manifest through you. Now, I want you to notice the next scripture. Put to death, therefore, your members, which are on the earth. Put to death your members which are on the earth. See, you're there, but you're really not there. Now, I'm not calling you half-wits or anything like that. It's just that you're there, but you're really not there. And I'll prove that to you where Jesus himself said this. Put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because these are the members that you and I are going to have to see cleaned up, or as we wash each other's walk in the feet ministry that we have with the things of God and with you, then God's going to clean up our members, all right? But the most important thing is you're standing. Now, what does it mean? Well, we've been raised with Christ into the heavenlies. Now, that means that you're standing. It has to do with position. Your position is in the heavenlies. It's fixed. It's in the kingdom realm. Now, Romans 4:17. I'll just cut part of the verse because I'm taking it a little out of context because it has to do with something else. But it still has the same application if we relate it to this. Calling those things which be not as though they were. You by faith are living in the kingdom realm by faith. Your body, your members are here on earth in this realm. But you, by faith, are living in the kingdom realm. And so, you'll call those things which be not. God does. You will with the Lord. We'll call those things be not as though they were. By faith, that's where I'm living.
Now, because of our standing, because of our position, and because it's in the heavenlies in Christ, we can by faith possess what is rightfully ours as His children. So easy. I remember, and I've shared this other times when we lost Deborah to the system, and we've shared that testimony here. But I remember because I had given her to God, as far as I was concerned, I'd pray, Lord, to bring her back if you have to kill her. Whatever you have to do, I'll leave it with you. As far as I'm concerned, I've severed her in the flesh realm. But I'll pray in the spirit realm, in the heavenly, in the kingdom, that you'll work to bring her back. And God did. He did a tremendous miracle of grace, and He brought her back. And so there are certain things that we, because of our position there, can claim or possess here. And these are ours. I want you to look with me at Matthew, if you will. Matthew 11, verses 11 and 12. When you stop and think who you are and where your position is, that is a tremendous, tremendous truth if you can grab it by the Spirit. Verily, in Matthew 11, 11 and 12, verily I say to you, there has not risen among those born of women a greater than John the Baptist. Well, that's wonderful. But look what he says. But he that is less in the kingdom of the heavens, or the heavenlies, greater than he is. So the lesser one, the less person that's least in the kingdom realm is greater, he says, than John the Baptist. But from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heavens is taken by violence, and the violent seize it. Because to move into that realm, to walk in that realm, to live in that realm, you are going to wrestle spiritual powers. You're going to battle. They're going to do everything in their power to keep you from it, because having one son, Jesus Christ, was bad enough. But to have other sons all around the world trying to move into that realm and live as Jesus lived, walk as he walked, do what he did, they can't take that. And so they're going to apply all the pressure that they possibly can. And I've learned this, the devil's not a gentleman. He's just not a devil. He's just a bad old devil. And I thought for a minute when I had this put on, it was a tail that maybe Glenn had cut off of one of the spirits. But the devil's a bad, bad boy. And he's not going to come against you and let you know ahead of time. He's going to work, and he's going to work, and he's not going to have the two horns and the pitchfork and the red underwear on and let you know that the devil's doing it. He's going to do it with an angel of light. He's going to do it with a lot of things and people and circumstances that will come against you, and you'll wonder why, you see. But the enemy, what he's trying to do is keep you out of the realm, the kingdom realm, and bring you to a lower level. And wait till we deal with it, if we can, in one of these nights, about these two individuals, one in that realm and the other in the realm of the church, if you want to so call it that, or the natural realm. Now, let's look a little farther. If we possess what is rightfully ours through our position in Jesus Christ, then it's going to affect our state. Our state is here. Circumstances can change your state. You have a child, and I'm sharing this today. If you have a child and they're in your family, and you're their mother or the father, and they happen to do something wrong, and you apply the Board of Education to the seat of intelligence, you affect their state. Because the circumstances are negative. Things happen, and that doesn't mean to say that they don't love you and you don't love them, but certain things are applied, and before you know it, their state changes. Now, when you can get and start to live and walk in the kingdom realm, and know that even though that's where you are in position, here you are in flesh body, but you start to claim, you start to loose, you start to bind, you start to believe, those things that are in that realm, the blessings that God has for you in the heavenlies in Christ, and you start to apply that and believe it, your state's going to change. Your state's going to change. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. For I learned, Paul says it, for I learned in what circumstances I am content to be. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Now you'll notice it wasn't a push-button instantaneous learning. It'd be nice if it would work that way, but I found that, you see, one day is with 1,000 years of the Lord, and therefore sometimes I think He takes 1,000 years just to do something in your life. That's the way you feel when you're in the fire. Of course, none of you people have been in the fire. You don't have any pressure, so, I mean, it's just wonderful for you. But me, I have a problem, all right? For I learned. Paul says, in what circumstances I am discontent to be. That would have in your Bible, content to be. Now stop and think for a minute. Some of the circumstances that you've been in lately, what has been the reaction or your attitude, what has come forth, and then you can discern from which kingdom. You see, the Holy Spirit, and you and I know what He produces from His kingdom. We know the gifts of the Spirit, and we know the fruit of the Spirit. We know that's His kingdom. But if situations that the Lord allows, the circumstances, as we live here, bring forth a negative reaction or something that's just not right, then you and I know that's the wrong kingdom. It could be murmuring, it could be criticizing, it could be anger, it could be depression, it could be a pity party, a self-pity, it could be a lot of things. Coming out of a kingdom, it could be a spirit of control that you have. It could be defensiveness, oversensitivity. And so, this kingdom God will allow to manifest and wants it out. Because all the time, you're wanting to remain in His kingdom. You want to strive to struggle and violently take what God has for you. But in the process of it, the devil's coming against you. But God's allowing it so that He can get the devil out of you down here. All right? Now, He says, and I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things I am initiated, both to be full and to hunger, both to abound and to be deficient. I am strong for all things, now you'll notice, in the Christ who empowers me. Because He was in Christ. Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. By faith, His position is there. So whatever happens to Him, how negative it might be, how bad it might be, Paul had learned through experience. It's easy to talk about it in theory. Man, I've talked about it for years. But when you get into it in experience, you certainly do learn. Mm-hmm. Sure you do. You learn. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11. Because I've got to go on. I've got a lot of scriptures I want to share with you and trust that at the end you'll get rid of the murmuring and the criticism and the defensiveness and the spirit of control. These are things God has dealt with me to minister tonight to see you get free. And so in Hebrews 11 verses 8 through 9, by faith, I love that word, by faith, not feeling, by faith, being called, Abraham obeyed to go out into the place which he was about to receive for an inheritance. And went out not knowing where he was going. Now by faith, you and I, have gone out into that realm of God, Canaan, the heavenlies, where there's warfare, which one day you and I are going to receive. I can take you to Revelation and show you where the sons of God throw the devil out of the heavenlies and they go into government in Revelation. And so we find here, which he was about to receive for an inheritance, you and I are about to receive something for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And that's the truth. By faith, living and walking in this realm, brother, it gets kind of hairy at times. Huh? It gets hairy. And you say, Lord, surely it's not this way. And God says, just go on. Just follow me. And I'll see you through. And so eventually, what you're doing is you're moving into that rest. And I'm not talking about the next age and the millennial age where we're going to see some tremendous things happening. But what you're doing is you're superimposing yourself over into that age. You're taking from it and learning how to rest. As you've given God that place in the kingdom where you're living, where you're walking, and whatever comes against you. And man, there are lots of things that have come against me. I'm sure they've come against you. And if you can grip this thing and allow it to work inside, you begin to realize, I don't have a thing to worry about. I don't have a thing to be anxious about. God's going to handle it. But you must realize where you are in Christ, and you're there, your position now. He says, by faith, talking about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise. That's where we're sojourning, in our position, as in a strange country in tents, having dwelt with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. Now, God wants us to dwell there. God wants us to live there. God wants us to walk there. Even though here our mortal body with our members is doing that thing here on earth, but all the time you're getting your instructions from up there. All the time, things are happening. You're looking at them, not from here, but anything that comes against you, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, you're looking down on it. Huh? Almost like you're out of your own body, looking down at the situation and say, well, Lord, I'm looking at this thing. I don't see any other way, but you're just going to have to handle it. Because you're on the top. That's where you are. And even though your body's there, even though your members are there, your mind or your life is hidden with God or with Christ in God. And in that realm, you're moving and you're striving. It's not easy. That's why he says it's taken the violent, those that are forcers. They move in to take what belongs to them so they can see it operate here as they live in this realm. Now, we look and see here in Acts 15:14, because, how can I put it to you now? God wants us to possess whatever he has for us in the kingdom realm by faith. And this day, it's going to be a reality one day. But the church, this church realm, that we are in. This, well, I call it the church realm. It's a time, you can call it a church age, church realm. It's a time of a people being called out of the world for the purposes of God. This church age or this church realm that you and I have lived in, been in. We know that it's a time where God has called out of this world and brought them into this church realm for the purposes of God. And even Acts 16 or 15, 14, it says Simeon related how first God visited to take out of nations a people for his name. So he, in his mercy, he brought forth a woman. He birthed this woman out of the nations. Now, this is a passing order. It's a passing order. It's only going to last for a season. And it'll be followed by that which is perfect. But in the process of it coming, you and I are conditioning ourselves or being oriented. We're being conditioned to that which is going to come. But in the process of it, God's working in you. God's working in you. He's developing something. And all the time, when it does happen, it'll just be a step into it. Because you're getting acclimatized to it. Look at John 3:3. And four, up to John 3-5. Jesus answered and said, talking to Nicodemus, verily I say to thee, unless anyone be born anew, he cannot even perceive the kingdom or the realm of God. And you couldn't perceive it either till you were brought into the family of God. You couldn't perceive the realm of God. You had to be born, just, and we've said this, and David Duplessis said it, God catches his fish before he cleans them, so through God threw it out and brought you in just the way you were. But when you came into the family of God, then you begin to see something and perceive something that's a lot better than where you are. And so we find that Jesus, there's a debate going on between Nicodemus and Jesus. And in 3:5, Jesus answers Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say to thee, unless anyone be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Now, we are not yet there, but we are in the process by faith entering, so when the kingdom comes, we will be part of it. We will be manifested with it. This kingdom that's coming around the world, the glory of God that will manifest itself through the body or through the sons of God as you and I are getting acclimatized. But every child of God's in the family of God. Everyone that comes through the bloodline, everyone that repents, they're come into the family of God. Yet there is a call within the family of God or within the sheepfold to learn the ways of the kingdom, to move on, leaving the first principles, going on, superimposing yourself in the next stage and bringing by faith from the next stage into this age and living and walking by faith in a realm that you and I can't see, but we know it's there. We sense it. We see the effects of it. It comes into our state and our lives are changed by it because we have tasted of the powers of the age to come. And that has come as you and I have believed God and by faith have gone out into it and said, Lord, this is where I want to live. This is where I want to walk. This is what I want you to do for me. And that's what he talks to Nicodemus about. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, but when may come that which is perfect, then that in part shall be done away. It'll be done away. Now, the only way that we can learn this realm of the kingdom or the kingdom realm, only way we can walk in it and live in it and move in it is by the Spirit of God. Can't do it naturally. Can't do it naturally. It's by the Spirit of God. And our natural proclivities or our natural inclinations are to that church system, the church realm, that church order. And you see, we've been so adjusted to it. So many times we come to, because we came into it, it's hard for us to come out of it. And so God has to break down our traditions and our theology. God has to take and deal with us on philosophies and cults and doctrines of devils and seducing spirits and these things that have perverted what God was trying to do with those who were birthed into His family. But the Church of Babylon, or whatever you want to call it, they've set the walls up, they've divided the people of God, and everybody's plagiarized from somebody else, and they've all of these strongholds and walls. But by the grace of God, God reached down, drew you out by His Spirit, and says, I want you to come up higher. And by faith, you heard the Spirit of God, and you moved higher into that realm, this higher order. And this higher order is only not just for now by faith, but it's going to be in the coming age. And everyone's not going to qualify. Everyone's not going to qualify. It's what God is calling the people of God to hear, and why you're here for deliverance, because He wants you to prepare for it. And the only way you can prepare for it is to let God, through the cleansing power of His blood and the power of the Spirit, take out of you those things that hinder you from moving up into that realm and staying there by faith. Sprinkling your conscience from dead works that you might serve the living God. How many times you start to walk with God, and all of a sudden the pressure comes, and when you're moving in, and I've heard this so many times, somebody says, the moment I start to press into the kingdom realm, the moment I start to move in with God, all hell breaks loose in my home, my husband goes screwy, my kids do something, something happens with the job, but something happens. And so as you learn the lesson to be content and stay there, don't leave it, stay in it. But the devil wants to knock you down. And that's why the Ephesian church, he says, from what height you have fallen. They were moving in that. But the enemy worked. The enemy's working in your life to do just what he wants to do, to keep you out of that place in God, so that you can't claim legally what is yours here. In the Ephesians 4, look what he says. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. For what? With a view to the perfection of the saints, for the work of the service, for building up of the body of the Christ. That's what they're given for, a fivefold ministry to help mature you, as well as they're moving up and you're moving up with them, until we all may arrive at the unity of the faith, now notice, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at a full grown man. Jesus was a full grown man. Jesus was the pattern. And I'll take you through, if I can, the steps of that pattern. I preach death, not life. You want to go through the veil? I believe I can show you through Scripture where you just might die as a son. And that's where you'll get through the veil. Jesus Christ died. He gave His life and was glorified. I look at other apostles, and they gave their lives, and they were glorified. Jesus Christ said, I will go first, and you will follow after. So we can get into that another time. All right. Until we all may arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. That's what I want to be in this mortal body. I want to come into fullness. I want to arrive. I don't believe I've stepped behind the veil by faith. I don't believe I'm a manifested son, but I do believe by faith I can live in the realm of the kingdom realm and believe God to do something through my position that I can by faith bring it into the state that I live in and see God do what I'm asking Him to do. Now, that no longer we may be infants being tossed and carried about by every wind of the teaching in the sleight of men in craftiness with a view to the systematizing of error. That's all this system wants to do, is systematize. Bring you into the system. Lay it down and say, this is the way it is. This is the way it's got to be. Well, I've found out since I've come into deliverance in the last 8-9 years that God has a variety of ways. People don't have to choke. I've seen them throw up in our church. I've seen them scream. I've seen them holler. I've seen them sit there and cry. I've heard them burp. I can tell you other ways they burp. And a lot of other things happen. God is a God of variety. And you just can't pinpoint. And all I know is that when you get it, you should feel the release and you walk it out. That's the way it is. If you, and the people have said, well, I said, look, if it's not gone, then you're going to know it's not gone. Don't feel bad. Come back and tell me it's still there and we'll try it again. But people in bondage
They've walked away from healing meetings and other meetings where the pastor or the evangelist said, "Why, look, now you've got to walk it out." And I saw a healing meeting one time in a church, Sonship Church, where the fellow called the healing meeting, and they had in that service or in that church meeting, and for that healing meeting, one of the members of the church had been crippled for years. And so he laid hands on him, and of course, nothing happened. It just certainly wasn't a miracle. And that poor fellow walked away, still crippled. And I remember hearing that evangelist say, "Now, that's got to stop. That's a bad habit, and you're going to have to change it." Well, it's pretty hard if your leg's crippled to change the habit. God changes the leg, then you can change your habit. And rather than lay the trip or say, "Well, God just didn't heal. If God doesn't deliver you, I'm not going to go home crying, because God delivers. If God doesn't baptize you in the Holy Ghost, you're not going to go home and cry. The evangelist is preaching baptism in the Holy Ghost or healing. It's God that's going to do the work. Man doesn't do it. God does it. God knows your heart better than I know your heart. I've had them come, and they'll sit there, and they'll cry, and they'll tell me how bad already they are. And they'll cry, and I'll lay hands on them, and they're still crying because nothing happens. And I don't waste 2 hours to find out why it didn't happen. I tell them it's not ready. I remember a girl, a French Catholic, who'd come into our fellowship, a beautiful young lady. And she was engaged to one of our young men, and she was striving for deliverance. Oh, that she wanted that. And there were times I prayed, and she never got it. So she said to me one Wednesday night after service, "Pastor, will you set up an appointment Friday with me? God's going to set me free." I said, "Are you sure? God's going to deliver me." I said, "All right." I went home. God spoke to me and said, "Now, she's not going to get deliverance Friday, but the lady she brings is going to get it." Well, that was nice. Happened to be her future mother-in-law. Well, I'd never sat down and talked to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was Nazarene. She'd sat 2 years in our fellowship. She hated me, hated my ministry, didn't like demons coming out. She believed in the rapture, and she was going to bring her mother, her future mother-in-law, with her, and she was supposed to get deliverance. And then she walked Friday, and I said, "Well, are you ready?" "I'm ready. God's going to do it." She came in the office. I laid hands on her. Nothing happened. She looked at me and swore. And she got mad at God, and I said, "Dear, that's exactly what God's going to get out of you. Whether God delivers you or whether he doesn't deliver you, you have to love him anyway. Love him anyway. And the moment that that attitude of yours changes, God will do the work." And she walked out and she was in a rage. And I said, "Well, send your future mother-in-law in." The future mother-in-law was a little shocked that I wanted her to come in. And she came in and she sat down. And I said, "Dear, can I help you with?" And she just started to cry and started to tell me how that she'd been a Christian and she was engaged to a young man, and the young man and her went on a picnic and he drowned and they didn't get to him in time. And she said, "I stood there on that beach and I raised my fist to God and said, 'That's the best you can do. I'll never serve you.'" And then she told the sordid tale of rebellion and the hell that she went through. And all of this is pouring out, and I writing it all down as God was giving me the spirit, you know, spirit of drowning, fear of drowning, rebellion and disappointment and sadness, writing it all down. I had a great big list, and I said, "Let me lay hands on," and I laid hands on her before she could say no. And man, she started doing that thing, and I was there a good hour, hour and a half, until God freed her. Now, you know how her future daughter-in-law felt when mother-in-law walked out smiling, and "God delivered me." I mean, that really helped her attitude, believe me. But you know, she's had deliverance. She got her deliverance. But by the time God was finished with her, she was ready. She was ready. You see, it's just not like, you know, I love to see everybody delivered. I like to say, "God, let them go through, you know, out in the name of Jesus, and they're all free." But I have times, I used to call them failures. But not anymore. I just say, "Well, you're not ready. And God will do it. Give him time. Get a hold of God. Pray about it." And I believe that there'll be some here that maybe God will talk to before this week's over. You might get prayed for tonight. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe it won't happen tomorrow. But I guarantee you seek God and God will do it. You get your heart right. Get your heart right. Believe your position. Believe it. And say, "Lord, I believe it. Whatever's in my heart, I want out. I want my attitude to be right. So when I come to you with my offering of praise and just sub subjecting to your spirit and bow in humility, you do the work. And I guarantee you, before this week's over, God will free you. God's no respecter of persons, but we must come to him and say, Lord, thy will be done, and it's his will to set you free. It's his will to set you free. Well, let's go on. That's getting out of line here a little bit. All right. Holding, and this is in the Ephesians 4, holding the truth in love, we may grow up into him, into his headship, in all things, who is the head, the Christ. Now you see, it's one thing to know about it, it's another thing to remain there. It's another thing to start growing and stretching out, stretching yourself out to press into that realm and letting God do the work. And of course, God's given the fivefold ministry to help to bring us up into this kingdom realm. Now, the church realm is soulish. The church realm is soulish. The kingdom realm is spirit-led. Now, hear me. Romans 8:14, for as many as by the Spirit of God are led, these are the sons of God. And so you and I are learning to move in that realm by faith, by the Spirit, not allowing the external pressures and people to place us into a box. Jesus was never placed in a box. They wanted him to pray for Lazarus. Lazarus was his best friend. Now you can imagine the pressure. They got over to where Jesus was and they said, look, you've got to come. Lazarus is sick. Now this Son of God lived in the realm of the kingdom. He lived there. He walked there. He said, the words that I speak are my Father's. The things that I do are done by my Father. And I can imagine if he had been living as you and I live in a soulish realm or in the church realm, the pressure of people coming and the desire to heal, the desire to help was there. He had compassion, but he never moved. He stayed there. And when it came time that the Father by the Spirit said go, he went. Well, now when he goes, you know the story, Lazarus is dead. And his body, he's in the grave for a certain period of time. It begins to stink. Now, will you notice when he prays, he said, Lord, I'm not praying because I'm not believing. I'm just praying for these around me. Because he already knew by the Spirit, when he arrived by the Spirit, God was going to resurrect Lazarus. He knew that. How did he know it? Because he lived in that realm, brother. And God moved him. God controlled him, God motivated him, and everything that he said, everything he did by the Holy Ghost. And so that's where God's bringing us to, by faith. The church realm is concerned so very much with the natural man and all the prosperity. Why, what I'm hearing going out in that system scares me half to death. Scares me half to death. I just prayed for a young couple that came into our fellowship with their family. This man had a good job with our TTC, our transportation in Toronto. They had a beautiful home. They got into a fellowship that preached shepherding and discipleship, and the elders began to dictate the policy with a spirit of control. They caused them to sell their home, told him to quit his job, move up closer to where the fellowship was. And when I got a hold of him, he was a basket case of disillusionment. You see, this church realm, concerned with a natural man, concerned with a lot of things that it does not need to be concerned about if you're living in the realm of God. There, the kingdom man is concerned with the spiritual aspects of divine light, moving in the Spirit. And that's why 3 John 2 fits in. Beloved, concerning all things, I wish thee to prosper. God wants you to prosper. But not like they're telling you out there, it's all faith. I found out, brother, that I have to suffer some. Now, nobody wants to hear suffering. Man, they can get all their satellite TV programs going, and they're preaching faith all over the place. But I'm telling you, I get the ones that hear the programs of faith, and they come to me for deliverance for suffering. There's a little suffering, because you'll suffer as you move into that realm, as you walk in that realm. The enemy will do everything he can, and God will permit it. For all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose, and purpose means showbread. And so we see that God's called us into his purpose to be sons so that he can look upon us and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Galatians 6:8, for he that sows to his own flesh from the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit from the Spirit shall reap life eternal. The church realm is a man-made form of government. You don't believe it? Get into one of these organizations I was in, and they threw me out. And I'm glad I'm out. Praise God. The reason I was out, because I crossed boundary lines with a hippie movement that I was in counseling in a coffee house. And because I moved from one area into a high school to hold the kids together, and I didn't report it, why then they said, that's it. All right, that's fine. It was all in the plan of God. And I love my brothers. I love my brothers. The church realm is man-made form of government. The kingdom realm is a theocracy. A theocracy in your life, in God. A theocracy or God ruling. This is what it is. The church realm, we see, it's a process, or it produces children, babies. The kingdom realm produces sons. Now, hear me. In the church realm, you have this fivefold ministry to develop you into the kingdom realm ministry as a son of God. And Jesus Christ preached the message. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, which Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which, having given command by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he chose, he was taken up, to whom also he presented himself living after he had suffered with many proofs during 40 days, being seen by them and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so Jesus told his disciples, and I could meddle there. Listen, I've got truth on that revelation that's really good. I mean, can you imagine happy about dying? I mean, it's a tremendous message. It'll just build you right up to think that you're going to die. Isn't that great? You're not shouting, but you will when I get to it. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the glad tidings of the kingdom, healing every disease, every bodily weakness from among the people. He lived on that higher order. He lived in this kingdom realm. Now look what his prayer in John 17, and I don't know how much time I got, but I understand you can't take a shower after 11, so we're all right up till then, all right? John 17, verses 15 through 24. This is the prayer of Jesus now, and he says, I do not make request that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Now that's really a sad situation for some of the Christians today. They want to be taken out of the world. Jesus prayed a long time ago about his disciples, of which I am one. He says, I do not make request, Father, that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them out of the evil. Well, I'm happy with that. Then he goes on to say, of the world they are not, as I of the world am not. Well, that tells me something. I've got to sever some relationships that I thought I could have if I'm going to live in that realm, walk in that realm, and move in that realm. Then he says, sanctify them, make them holy by thy truth. Thy word truth is, as me thou didst send into the world, I also sent them into the world. Now, isn't that strange? He brought us out of it, now he sends us back into it. But now that he's sending us back into it, he expects us to take our position in heavenly places in the kingdom realm and then start to live as he lived in this world. Takes us out, teaches about the kingdom, tells us what has to be done, starts to clean us up, and says, now go back in there and do what I did. That's what he wants us to do. Now look what he says here. As me thou didst send into the world, I also sent them into the world. As for them, I sanctify myself, that also they may be sanctified in truth. Now, hold that scripture and look at Hebrews 2, 9 through 12. And we'll put Hebrews 2, 9 through 12 in here. But we see Jesus, who was made some little lower than the angels, on account of the suffering of death with glory and with honor crowned. Now, how many of you want to be crowned with glory? How many are looking forward to that? All right, make sure you read the whole scripture. Let me read it again. But we see Jesus, who was made some little lower than the angels on account of the suffering of death, with glory and with honor crowned, so that by the grace of God for everyone, he might taste death. And that's all you're going to do anyway, is taste it. You're not going to see it. There's a difference between tasting and seeing. And you can go through the scriptures on that in your Greek. For it was becoming to him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, many sons to glory, bringing. He wants to bring you to glory, his glory, all right? The leader of their salvation through sufferings to make perfect or mature. Their salvation through sufferings to make perfect. For both he who sanctifies and those sanctified of one are all. That's identification. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now I think if you just look over the church realm and look over the family of God, there are few people that God's ashamed to call brothers right now. But that's why we're here, to get cleaned up. Now, saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to thee. Now back to John 17, let's continue where we left off. Verse 20 now. Now he's talking as he's praying to the Father, and he's talking about his disciples. And not for these only I make request. He says, not only for the ones I have now, but he says, also for those who shall believe through their word on me. Now, how many believe on him? All right. That all one may be. That's union. That's union. As thou, Father, art in me, and I. Now, look at this. That all one may be. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. There's a difference of having Christ in you and you being in Christ. Church realm, Christ is in you. Kingdom realm, you're in him. Now hear me. Look what else he says. And that the world may know that thou me didst send and lovest them as me thou lovest. He says, when this thing's going to take place, he says, the world's going to know. Now how can the world know if you're taken away someplace? But the world's going to know. Now he goes on. Lovest them as me thou lovest. Father, whom thou hast given me, I desire. Now, here's the catchphrase. That where I am, they also may be with me. Now, he was in the garden. At least his body was. But he was living in God. And so he prays this. That where I am, where were you, Lord? He was in the realm of the Father. He was in the anointing. He was in the heavenlies in God. That where I am, they also may be with me. That they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He lived. He moved. He spoke the kingdom realm, brother. And we shall, by the grace of God, with all that's in us, as we move into it, and as we get cleaned up, brother, and stay in there, we'll live in it now, and it's happening. Jesus was the embodiment of the spoken word. And he was the Word of God. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and the Word is still coming in flesh. My flesh and yours. He's going to manifest one day from this mortal body. The fullness of the glory of God's going to come through as you and I are in this mortal flesh. I am looking for the fullness of God. I have tasted it. And it's coming. And if what I tasted is anything that's going to happen in the future, then it's worth any price. It's worth any kind of circumstance or situation. It doesn't matter what the pressures are. Lord, move me into that realm and allow me by the grace of God to walk in the Spirit, not to get involved. You know, there's a wrestling. If you wrestle with a pig, you'll both get dirty. So stay away from pigs, brother, and just move into the realm of God. Whatever they say to you, whatever they want to do to you, say, Lord, I want to live in the realm of the Spirit of God. God's with you, brother. Sister, God's with you. Can you imagine? No problem. No problem. There's not death, a problem, a sickness, whatever the enemy throws at your family. You can take the authority up there. And while it's working out there, you can look at the situation and say, well, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm not going to worry. Be anxious for nothing. Why do you worry? Why do you worry and be anxious? There's no reason to be anxious if you're in the will of God and you're living in the anointing and you're walking and you're claiming by faith that realm. Brother, you don't need to worry. I get on an airplane, I don't worry. Some people have fear flying. And I've heard people who are in the sonship message and some who believe in deliverance, they say, man, this traffic, and some people are afraid to get in a car. They're afraid to get in an airplane. Something's going to happen. Well, listen. How many believe they have a ministry yet? How many believe they have a ministry? Is it finished yet? Then don't worry. If the airplane crashes, you'll survive. Your ministry's not finished. Sure. You're going to drive home and you're living in God. You're walking in that realm and you believe in sonship and you're getting cleaned out, brother. God's not going to cause to let the devil knock you off. You have nothing to fear. And the brother sang it. Perfect fear. Cast out love. Oh, perfect love cast, no fear.
Woo!
Should have got me on that one, Glenn. I mean, that's worse than some of the doctrines you just mentioned up here. But perfect love. And that's right, it is true, isn't it? Perfect fear casts out love. Thank you, brother. That's a word of wisdom. Glory to God. Holy Ghost is manifesting. Hallelujah. He's working. Thank you. That just about blew my message all to pieces. Well, praise God. I even lost my thought. That's right. Bless the Lord. There's nothing to fear. I was going to tell you about one of our elders' wives, and she had, when she had, she had a family of 12 or 13 when she was growing up, and the kids were growing up. She was a Christian. How many have ever had trouble with their children? Glad to hear that. And she had trouble. And one night, after all the trouble she'd had, she walked out of the house, and the thought was to commit suicide. And she never did. But one night in the women's deliverance meeting in our fellowship, she got free of the spirit of suicide. 2 weeks later, I was away with my father-in-law. We were praying and seeking the Lord, and I got sick and couldn't get deliverance, couldn't get healed. So I said to him, I'm going home. So I drove home. I arrived at home, and the Saturday morning, I got up and the phone rang, just like it's ringing now. And the lady on the phone, she said, Pastor, I'm so sick. And I said, well, let me pray for you, dear. And I prayed for her, and then I said, are you better? She says, no. I said, well, give me time and I'll come on over. And I was over there in about 20 minutes to half an hour. I walked in, and there she was laying on this couch in the living room with her kimono on. And when I walked in, I knew she was dying. I looked at her. I knew she was dying. The pallor was there. The sweat was there. And I said to her, I said, Selena, where is the pain? And she said, and she couldn't even tell me. As I knelt over there, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, cast out the spirit of death. The next voice I heard was from the devil. And he said, if you tell her to renounce the spirit of death, she'll think she's really dying. But I knew the first voice was the Lord. And so I said, Selena, I want you to renounce the spirit of death. And she said, and she couldn't get it out. And suddenly her voice changed and strength came. And the devil in her said, I have tried to kill her twice. And this time I'm going to do it. And I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her, that spirit of death. And she, out it came. Just about that time, because I told her son to call the ambulance and the paramedics, they walked in with a stretcher and she'd just thrown up and collars coming back. And she said, Pastor, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm fine. I said, you go get checked out. So she went to the hospital, got checked out, passed three or four kidney stones, and was home in an hour, and she hasn't had a sick day since. Mother, you don't have a thing to fear. Nothing to fear. Do you believe that? Your children, if they're out there someplace, you have nothing to fear. If you take your position in God, you start to live and walk in the Holy Ghost, you start to bind the power of the enemy, you start to loose those chains that bind your children, God will do something. He'll bring it to pass if you'll move in God. If you'll take that place on that higher realm, it looks negative. And maybe some of the things are negative. But you don't look at the circumstances. You look to God, and then you look down on those things. And you say, Lord, I'm here, and they're there. Devil, everything's under my feet. And so I trample you under in the name of Jesus Christ. And I move into that realm of the kingdom, and I'll take what belongs to me. And God will give it to you if you'll live there, brother. Get out of that children's church realm and move up into the sonship realm. Move up into the realm of God and say, Lord, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to walk by the Spirit of God. I want to speak by the Spirit of God. Wouldn't we have revival? If everybody spoke, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. And we started to speak under the anointing of the Spirit. We started to heal and pray for the sick under the anointing of the Spirit of God. God already saying, do it, and you do it. But we hit and miss. We need to live there, walk there, and it's going to take a struggle, but I'm willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price to move into it? Let's bow our hearts together tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Living Christ. Living Christ. We just lift up our hearts tonight first, giving you thanksgiving and praise, Lord, for what you're doing in all of our lives. We thank you for every man, woman, boy and girl, every young person that has come, Father, to this camp meeting to hear the ministries, Lord, as they try to minister in God and give the truth that you would have them to give. But, Father, we thank you for them. And tonight they've come seeking you, Lord, to move higher into your realm. Lord, to see you do something in their lives, to take away the worry and the fear and the fretting and the anxiety and the frustration. Lord, tonight in Jesus' name, I want you to lift up your burden tonight. And if it's fear, if it's worry, we'll bind the enemy. And I want you to let it go in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the anointing break the yoke tonight. Let the anointing set you free tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, I take authority now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind your power in Jesus' name. I come against and renounce in the name of Jesus. I renounce the spirit of worry and anxiety. Now tonight, if you feel that, the anxiety, the worry, the fretting, I want you to take it and relate it to whatever it is in your family, and I want you to let it go in the name of Jesus. And I promise you, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that God, through the anointing, will break the yoke, and God will set your family free. God will bring your children to God. And as you move to the power of the Spirit of God, God will do those things in your home. God will set them free. God will bring them in. But you must allow him to move by the power of his Spirit. Let the anxiety and the fretting go. As the blood sets you free, it will set your family free. For as you pray, you will pray in faith, and you will not pray in fear. For perfect love casts out all fear, and faith will move in your heart, and you will claim those things that belong to you in the realm of the kingdom. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of fear, anxiety. Come out, you spirit of turmoil. Come out, you lying demons of hell. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. I come against self-pity. I bind discouragement. I bind despondency. I bind disillusionment. I bind devastation. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. I command fear to leave. Loose, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of the Holy Ghost. Fear of error. Fear of those things that hinder your life in God. I bind the spirit of disaster. I bind the spirit of accident. I bind the spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the anointing of God. Loose, I said, in the authority of Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ sets you free. The blood of Jesus Christ sets you free. Lift your hands tonight if you are hurting. If you have had hurts and you've had situations that have caused you to be devastated, I bind the spirit of devastation. I loose the spirit of devastation. I loose it tonight. I come against every devastating, traumatic thing. In the name of Jesus, loose tonight. I bind and loose hurt tonight. You spirits of hurt, you spirits of a broken heart, you spirits of disappointment, you spirits of sadness, you spirits of despondency, loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of shock. I come against the traumatic spirits. Loose, I said. I come against the powers of hell. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. Loose in the name of Jesus. All anxiety, let it go. Let it go. Come out, you spirit of murmuring. Come out, you questioning spirits. For we will question no longer. I bind doubt. I bind skepticism. I bind unbelief. Loose tonight in the authority of Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of death. I bind the spirit of control. Loose your spirit of control. Loose your spirit of resistance. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. I come against the spirits of control. Those spirits of resistance. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Blood sets us free. Breathe in the anointing. Breathe in the anointing. Just lift up your heart and breathe in the anointing. Breathe it in. Deep breaths of the Holy Ghost. Come unto me and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Loose tonight. Loose tonight. Loose tonight. I come against the spirits of infirmity. I bind the spirit of infirmity. I bind the spirit of migraine. I come against the power behind it. I come against the spirit of allergies. Loose your food allergy in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose, I said, in Jesus' name. I come against food allergies. The spirits behind it. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. The blood sets us free tonight. Loose in the name of Jesus. I come against witchcraft, occult, idolatry. I come against all fetishes in Jesus' name. I come against sexual impurity. I bind perversion. I bind lust in the name of Jesus Christ. I command lust to leave. I command lust to leave. Every fantasy, every imagination out in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of lust, in the name of Jesus. Come out, you fantasizing powers. I bind the spirit of frigidity. I bind incest. I bind molestation in the name of Jesus. Loose tonight. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. In the name of Jesus. 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 I take authority over the spirit of inferiority. I take authority over the spirit of introversion, introspection. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose! Loose, you spirit of inferiority. Loose, you spirit of worthlessness. Come out, you spirit of being dumb. Come out, that I don't care spirit. Come out, I said, rebellion. Loose, defiance. Loose, defiance. Loose in the name of Jesus. Disobedience, defiance, rebellion. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of compromise. I bind the spirit of compromise. Fear of man. I bind the fear of man that causes compromise. I come against it in Jesus' name. I come against child abuse. I come against the screaming, hollering spirit. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ritisha karan mantra fianto. Andare di apporne siante. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I come against the spirit of adultery. I bind adultery and suspicion. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of mistrust. I come against the spirit of suspicion. I bind the spirit of adultery. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of abortion. I bind the spirit of infanticide. In the name of Jesus Christ, I loose those things. I loose them in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free. I come against fornication. I come against adultery. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose in the authority of Jesus Christ. Suspicion and mistrust. I bind those things. I come against the spirit of betrayal. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of betrayal. I come against the spirit of betrayal. I come against the spirit of running. I come against the spirit of slavery and a wimp spirit. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. The spirit of confinement. I bind that thing. A prisoner to your own situation. I bind that thing. I come against psychosomatic sickness. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of psychosomatic sickness. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. All spirits of psychosomatic sickness, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 I take authority over word blindness. That means blindness to truth in the Word of God, and it's a spirit. I bind the spirit of word blindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit that causes the word not to be retained. I bind that thing. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirit of word blindness. All spirit of loss of retention to the Word of God. I come against it, and I ask you, Father, to circumcise the mind. Circumcise the mind. Circumcise false doctrine. Circumcise seducing spirits. Circumcise philosophies. Circumcise spirits of cults. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind those things. Come out, you spirit of philosophy and cults. Loose traditions of men. Fear of man, traditions of men. Out, you spirit of legalism. Sectarianism. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Legalism. I bind the spirit of legalism. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free from pride, high-mindedness, self-centeredness. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the name of Jesus Christ. All pride, we loose it. Pride, self-centeredness, high-mindedness, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now anger. For you've been angry with me and with my word. You've raised your fist in your heart in rebellious, stubborn anger. And you have questioned the leading of my spirit. And you have questioned and asked why. But am I not the potter that molds the clay? And will I not destroy the anger within thee if thou wilt yield yourself under the leading of my spirit? Let's get rid of it. We renounce anger. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of anger.
Come out, you spirit of anger. Out, you angry spirit. Loose, you spirit of anger and violence. Come out, I said. Come out, you cursing, swearing demon with it. Come out, you angry, cursing demon power. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. Out, I said. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out, you spirit of anger. Come out, you cursing, swearing demon. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. All anger we rebuke. Come out, you spirit of anger. Loose him tonight. Loose him. I come against anger. I come against the anger. Loose him. Come out, anger. Come out, you cursing, violent, angry spirit. I said loose him. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. Out, I said. Loose him. Come out, anger. I said out. Out in Jesus' name. Feel the blood and leave him. I command the violent, angry, stubborn, rebellious thing. Out in Jesus' name. Out, you spirit of swearing. Come out, you cursing, swearing demon. Out in the authority of Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. All anger, loose him. I said, loose him. Loose him. Loose him. Loose him. I command you to loose him in Jesus' name. The anger, the hurts, the hurts. Come out, hurt. Come out, hurt. Rejection and anger. I said, leave him. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Before we turn over to Glenn, let's stand and praise the Lord and do something. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.